Give him praise tonight. Can we do that? All over this house, let's just bless his name right now. Let's continue this wonderful atmosphere that's in this place. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Amen, amen, amen. My, what a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost is in this place tonight. If you know God has been good to you, say amen. 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 It is such a delight. It is such a privilege to be able to come and be with the great saints here in Birmingham, Alabama. From all over the region, I see friends and loved ones from all over the United States. Amen. And I know that there is a spirit of expectation. I hope you have a spirit of expectation. I hope you didn't come to just sit. God's been too good to us. Let me say it again for somebody in the back. God has been too good to us. Well, 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 well. Amen, amen. And I can feel an unction in the Holy Ghost. I give honor to Brother Sutton, Brother Collins, and all of the Sutton clan. By the way, that's just about everybody in this room that's a part of this church. It's an honor to be with you here at Power to Become. This is a conference that is impacting the nation. It is setting a precedent. It is blazing a trail. And I'm honored. I'm honored to be a part of it. I give honor to the leadership here, always first class. Many years of collaboration at the Ignite Conference, and now that same spirit continues on. Amen. God has great things in store for us tonight. He's already done great things, and he's going to continue to do great things. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I see friends, and I see brothers and sisters in the Lord. I saw Brother Joe Rowley back there in the back. God bless you, Brother Rowley. Good to see you, my dear friend. I see how it is. You'll come to Power to Become, but you won't come to East Coast Conference. I see. Amen. But I love the people of God. I want to say that it's an honor to preach here, and I know you were blessed last night by the ministry of Pastor Randy Williams from Fort Myers, Florida. Amen. A dear friend, a brother in the Lord who is pastoring one of the greatest churches ever that God has used him so greatly in this day. And then tomorrow night, the ministry of Brother Drost, you're going to be blessed. God is going to use these great men of God. What an atmosphere. What a blessing. I don't want to spend too much time on preliminaries. I want to just jump into the Bible. Can we do that? Everybody knows I love them, right? We all love each other. So let's just talk about Jesus. I'm excited to talk about Jesus. I'm going to take a little time and just brag on Jesus. Amen. Brother Jennings, my. I am a Brother Jennings fan. He grabs that mic and woo, angels come swooping in. Glory. Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. Now I bring you greetings from Durham, North Carolina. I've got some Durham saints here tonight. Where's my Durham saints at? Here we are, here we are. We got some Durham people in this house. We got some Fort Myers people in this house. Amen. And other people, if there's any South Haven people, just let me know. All right. Judges chapter 7 and verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. A familiar passage, a beloved passage, but one that I think resonates because we're talking about generational transfer. We're talking about things moving from generation to generation this conference. And I don't want to lose one inch of territory God has given to us. I don't want to lose 1 ounce of holiness. I don't want to lose one drop of the blood. I don't want to back up on the name that's above every name. And I want to speak in tongues more than you all. And while we're at it, we might as well say we're going to take territory. I plan on taking a little bit of territory. I plan on gaining a little ground. I plan on leaving this thing better than I found it by the help of Almighty God. I wish I had a few apostolic people in this place that had a fire down in their guts that said, God is able. And tonight, I want to take a few moments and preach a simple thought. I want to talk to you about the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to take some time. And I just want to point out something about generations, something about generations. The word contains the seed that is the same seed that is in the word Genesis, the G-E-N-E. That means beginnings. God is good at beginnings. Not only is God good at beginnings, God is the beginning. My life starts with God. Your life starts with God. Without God, we can do nothing. Generation, Genesis, if you continue to follow the etymological root of that word, you'll bump into the word gene, genetic, genome. It all has to do with beginnings, building blocks. Every generation is a new beginning. If you ever purchase a generator from Home Depot, fill it with gas, hook it up to your house, then when the power goes out and the storm hits, there'll be a pause, and then the engine will kick on, and you start to produce something. Generations are the producings of things. If there is a generating of trees, then from the seeds, they will generate. They will produce. And according to your Bible, they will produce after their kind. You don't produce after another kind. You produce after your kind. So pine trees produce, they generate pine trees. Orange trees generate orange trees. Apple trees do not generate lemon trees. If you want to generate something, you've got to be something. You can't just talk about it, you got to be it. That's what they say nowadays, isn't it? Don't just talk about it, be about it. Don't just talk about living for God, live for God. Don't just talk about holiness, be holy. For God is holy. Don't just talk about the name of Jesus, be about the name of Jesus. Don't talk about getting right, get right. Live right. Dress right. I want to be what God has called me to be, and I can't produce something that I'm not. You can't give something you don't have. Well, you kids need to behave. Y'all need to straighten up. I keep trying to tell him, Pastor. But what are you doing? What are you generating? What are you bringing into being? Because it's not about your words. Now, words are powerful. Words are a part, but they are just the beginning. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. Trees are generated. Dogs are generated. Cats are generated. People are generated. This is a production of a thing or a person. And each cycle will then produce another cycle. Let me just say right now that it's important to get a hold of God early on. If you want to know the best time to get a hold of God, it's today. It's not next week, it's not next month, it's not next year. Get right now. I don't care if you're 9. I don't care if you're 99. The day to get right is right now. Start now. Begin to generate the right thing. Stop generating the wrong thing. Hallelujah. What a day to serve God. What an opportunity to do the will of the Lord. You better know the devil understands generation. Why do you think Pharaoh tried to kill every baby boy? He was killing the generators. He was killing the producers. He was trying to snuff out the hope of Israel. Why do you think Herod, craftily speaking to the wise men, said, "Tell me where the babe is at"? He knew that baby was a generator. He also knew the prophecy, and the devil behind him knew the prophecy, that God would bring forth a child that would bruise the head of the serpent. Amen. And Pharaoh tried to kill them all. Herod tried to kill them all. And the devil wants to kill all of you. He wants to kill your faith. He wants to kill your prayer life. He wants to kill your church attendance. He wants to kill your godly relationships. He wants to kill your marriage. Hey, mom. Hey, dad. The devil's not just trying to kill you. He wants those babies. He wants the generation. Hallelujah. He wants the next generation and the generation after that. I'm not just serving God for me. I'm serving God for my sons. I'm serving God for my grandsons. See, we are a people that believe in generations. I don't even have grandsons yet. But if Levi can pay tithes to Melchizedek while he's in the loins of Abraham, I've got grandsons that can live for God before they're even here. There's generations that will come out of my life. There's generations that will come out of my sons. So you might as well start dancing now. You got kids that haven't been born yet? Start dancing now. And when you dance, they dance. When you give tithe, they give tithe. When you shout, they shout. Because the generations work together. And they... When you pray, they pray. When you believe, they believe. When... I'm doing this for the generations to come. Amen. Amen. What are you producing? What are you producing? What kind are you? Are you a pine tree? Are you a scrub bush? I don't ever want my children to look at me and see me on the back and arms folded. Church almost over. I don't ever want them hearing me say something negative about a brother or sister, because we produce after our kind. I don't ever want them to see me coming in late and leaving early. If I want this thing to go on to the next generation, I've got to live this. I've got to embody this. I've got to be this. So if you want them to dance, start dancing. If you want them to shout, start shouting. If you want them to pray, start praying. If you want them to go to church, get the power to become and have a Holy Ghost meltdown. Hey, I came to preach something into somebody. I came to preach something into the generation to come. There's something in this equation that I do, that we do. We play a part. Point to yourself, say, I play a part. All through Scripture, the Bible records God desiring to work with man. And it tells us that His truth endureth to all generations. It tells us that His mercy endureth to all generations. I'm glad it's not just one or the other. I'm glad God doesn't just let truth endure, because if truth alone endured, none of us would be standing here right now. If all we had was truth, you and I would be in trouble, because the truth is, most of us, scratch that, all of us don't deserve to be here. All of us have said it wrong, done it wrong, been wrong, lived wrong, and if all we had was truth... Ah, but I heard Him say His mercy endureth
to all generations. At the same time the truth endures, his mercy endures.
God's looking to raise up a people that are strong in both in each generation. In each generation. And so, this concept of generations, God's interested in it. The devil's interested, and we, sure enough, better be interested in it. The devil is after our young people. He's after our marriages. The devil is interested in breaking up people's marriages. He wants dads to leave homes. He wants moms to grow dissatisfied. He wants them to grow hopeless. He wants them in divorce court. He wants the children left vulnerable, because if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And it all has to do with generations. I want to preach this tonight because it's important to be about the business of God. It's important to start generating the right things. If you want a dead church service, just walk in here and sit and look at everybody and sit like a bump on a pickle, and you'll have yourself a dead church service. But if I could get somebody to walk in here and start turning the prayer wheel, if I can get some people into pre-service prayer, if I can get somebody to start warming this engine up, if I can, my God, somebody help me right now. If I can get somebody to put their hands together, if I can get somebody to stomp their feet and lift their voice and generate a little Holy Ghost atmosphere in this place, something's going to move. Something's going to shake. Something's going to change. I want to generate faith in this house. I want to generate hope in this house. I want to generate something that changes life forever for someone. Aren't you glad you had a church that knew how to generate? Amen. Men and women learned that they had to begin to do. Because the truth is, when God began to deal with Gideon, he presented a principle to Gideon that Gideon had to learn, every man and woman in the Bible had to learn, and everybody in this room has to learn, that we need God's help if this thing's gonna continue. If you're gonna win the battle, it's not just Gideon's sword. It's not just God's sword, but it's both of them working together. When you're ready to shout, you're gonna do it with God. When you're ready to live, you're gonna do it with God. When you're gonna evangelize, don't go by yourself. You better go with God. When you go to witness, go with God. When you pray, don't stop praying till God shows up. His sword and my sword. That's what wins the battle. There's a balance that you strike in the scripture. We see men and women strike this balance as God sets the tone with Abraham. Abraham hears the voice of God. He enters into covenant with God, and God tells Abraham, I will bless thee. And I will bless him that blesses thee. And I will curse him that curses thee. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Let me translate it for you, ladies and gentlemen. I will be with you. You can't make it by yourself, Abraham, but you can with me. I came to Power to Become to tell you tonight that you've got that same promise that Abraham had. You can't make it without him. Your marriage can't make it without him. Your children can't make it without him. I've got to get that, live that, believe that, act upon that.
Praise God. Praise God.
And I'll tell you the drumbeat that I have been beating here this last year, really 2 years, that the apostolic church has everything that it needs. We have enough anointing. We have enough power. We've got wonderful preaching. We've got singing like angels. We've got everything that we need to be successful. All we need now is somebody willing to pull their own sword out and say, I'll do it. I'm not just going to listen. I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to do it in the four walls. I'm going to do it when I walk out. You want God to work in your life? Be about his business. Start to generate. Somebody needs to grab a hold of the cord and pull it and get your generator started. You need to heat up that prayer room. You need to heat up that study life. You need to heat up that testimony. You need to heat up that opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm generating when I go to school. I'm generating when I walk on the college campus. I'm generating when I'm on the job. I'm generating. I'm moving. I'm acting upon.
Praise God.
I read an article not long ago. In the article, it said that the average American has 2.3 children. I guess that third one, they just kind of cut 66% off. Just legs walking around, I guess. Statistically speaking, that's what the average American household has. Some have more, some have less, some have none. But there's a problem with our generating. The more money we get, the more educated we get, the more self-absorbed we get. And then the statistics came out that if that doesn't change, Islam will take over Europe very soon. It's a foregone conclusion just by birth rate. Just by birth rate. The Europeans generate less than we do. It's 1.4. And then the average Islamic household has 9 children. The only other people somewhat keeping up with the Muslim population is the Hispanics. Amen.
Gloria a Dios. En el nombre de Jesucristo.
Brother Ari Prado told me, he said, when they come for you, Pastor Urshan, my people will protect you. They have 5.5 to 6 children per household. And the newspaper article, the point of it was, if something doesn't change drastically in 20 years, in 40 years, the world's going to be a radically different place. And they were sounding the alarm from a societal perspective. And that's how the world looks at things. Oh, but man, what would happen if people realized who they were in God? With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What are you saying, Brother Urshan? I'm saying it's the finest hour to be apostolic. It's the finest hour to be a tongue talker. Ladies and gentlemen, I have had 2 sons biologically. God has blessed me with a daughter-in-law that is precious. We are looking forward to grandbabies. I told Joseph, you better have 10. We want a big house full of little Urshanites. But that's not what I'm excited about tonight, because I'm not preaching about Islam, and I'm not preaching about natural production or Americans or Europeans. I'm preaching about apostolics, the greatest generating force the world has ever known.
Because while I've only had two sons, I've had about 2,000 sons and daughters in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every time you baptize somebody in Jesus' name, every time somebody gets the Holy Ghost, that's another babe born into the kingdom of God. That's what John meant when he said they'll be born not of blood nor of the will of man, but they'll be born of God. It's time to be busy about the Father's business. There is no people that can keep up with the apostolic church. You can start having babies in the Holy Ghost when you are still a teenager. You can bring that young man to church. You can bring that young lady in your family car. You can bring your neighbor to the house of God, and they can be born of the water and born of the Spirit. Nobody can match that. Nobody can compare to that. If the apostolic church will rise up and be who they're supposed to be, nobody can keep pace. I think it's time for Pentecost to take over. I think it's time for Pentecost to take over our cities, take over our schools, take over our neighborhoods. My God, have mercy. I need some generators. I need somebody to pour in the diesel and crank up the Holy Ghost generator that God gave to you. Let's preach it. Let's sing it. Let's testify about it. And when you get the Holy Ghost, it's not bound by genetics. I've got Hispanic children. I've got African American children. I've got Haitian children. I've got Jamaican children. I've got Bahamian children. I've got Russian children. I've got Saudi Arabian children. There are no borders, and there is no, my goodness, somebody hear what I'm saying right now. When you are able to generate at that level, you can take over the world. You can be seated. I believe this down in the core of my being that this is the call of this hour. I want to be what produced me. I want to in turn produce replicas. I want them to preach the same message and greater. I want them to see the same miracles and greater. When God began to do a work here in Birmingham, Alabama, he sent a very unique mold named Brother Sutton. That wasn't just a man, that was a generator. God was going to stamp out replicas. Little Suttons. Miniature Suttons. Why do you think there's dancing and shouting? When I look around for Brother Sutton, some people might be sitting over on the side. Some people might be sitting in a big cushy chair, not Brother Sutton. I see him go dancing across the front like this. And right behind him, I see a little army of little Suttons dancing behind him. That's what happens when you start generating. That's what happens when the fire starts burning. My God, help us. Help us to generate Bible studies. Help us to generate evangelism and door knockers and testifiers and bus workers. Somebody hear what I'm telling you, right? I need a Gideon. I need an Abraham to wake up and say, God has called me for this hour. Praise God. Amen. I watch all through the Bible as people struggle with that. Are you sure, God? Maybe I need to put out a fleece just to be sure you're with me. Puts it out. When he wakes up, fleece is dry, ground is wet. Oh, maybe he is with me. All right, one more time. Now let the ground be dry, let the fleece be wet. God does it. Over and over, God is saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. I will be with you. I will go with you. Your enemies are my enemies. Your friends are my friends. I'm not afraid of what the world is afraid of. But many people are alarmed about the rise of communism and Islam and other isms that coming down the pike. But I'm apostolic. I just got off a plane from Beirut. And while we were there, the Holy Ghost broke out. The Holy Ghost broke out. Sunday, miraculous things happened. We were preaching the gospel, and I could feel the people were locked up. They were bound up. Islam had repressed them and oppressed them. And I could tell in their worship, they would clap their hands, but it was so quiet, and they wouldn't hardly lift their eyes up. And the Holy Ghost breathed over my spirit and said, you need to tell them it's time to break out. And so all I know how to do is speak from the die I was cast from, the mold that made me. I know how to have church. When I feel that suffocating feeling trying to tamp me down, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says he gave me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When the devil starts trying to beat you down, it's trying to lift up your voice. It's time to cast it off. It's time to throw it off. That's the mold that I came out of. Somebody needs to lift up your voice. Somebody needs to shout unto the Lord. Hey, open your mouth and shout, yes, Lord. When you cry out, God shows up. When you praise him, God shows up. He'll meet you there. He'll meet you there. God said, they're too quiet. Teach them to break out. And so I preach for an hour. Break out. Praise him. Bless his name. By the time it was all done, there were people in Islamic dress with their hands lifted high, speaking with other tongues as the Holy Ghost filled them. That's not just coming from me. There were other people that generated that. And I watched them. And when I watched them, I began to produce that. That's generation to generation. Now, this part, those of you that are listening on Holy Ghost Radio, I apologize. I'm about to go dark for a second. I'm going to tell you this part out like this, because I can't let this get out on the radio. But after we baptized two people and the Holy Ghost broke out, I can't let this get out into the public, because if it does, it'll kill the family. We baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. And when he came up out of the water, he was speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. It's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. If you'll do it, God will show up. If you'll preach it, God will show up. If you'll sing it, God will show up. It's what happens when we work together. It's what happens when he goes with me. It's what happens. Somebody lift your hands right now. Somebody lift your voice in this house right now. It's our hour. Come on, power to become. It's our hour. It's our time. It's our opportunity. Brother Sutton said it before I got up here. You can't live on your parents' burden. You can't live on your grandparents' experience. You got to start to generate. Start turning the wheel. Put your hand to the plow. Pick up that sword. From generator to generator, from generation to generation, it's a new beginning every time. Woo! I'm not done yet. I got a lot of preach left inside of me. If you read Judges chapter 7, the Bible says, verse 16, he divided the 300 men into three companies and he put a trumpet in every man's hand.
Come on.
When I was little, when I read trumpet, I thought it meant like brass. You know, like you had when you were in band, the tuba player, the trombone player, the trumpet player. Amen. And I thought, here's all these guys waving these brass instruments around out in the wilderness. That's not the trumpet he gave them. If you read that word trumpet in Hebrew, it's shofar.
Hallelujah.
It was a ram's horn.
Praise God.
It was a ram's horn. I've got the original template of what that looked like. The Bible says of Abraham that he offered up his son Isaac, and as he was ready to kill him, there was a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. There's a lot of stuff in that story, but I'll just tell you for sake of time that it includes the Father, the Son, the blood, the substitution, and the redeeming power of the blood of the Lamb. Abraham got a revelation that day. You ever wonder why God asked Abraham to do that? You ever wonder, I mean, what kind of a weird deal is that? Hey, kill your son for me. You really love me? Kill your son. You think God's playing games? You think God has weird requests? You think God has things that he's trying to prove, odd, strange things? God's not a capricious God. He's not a God of whims and fancies. He's got a reason for everything that he was doing. And he was creating a prototype. He was creating a generator. He was creating a man that wasn't going to do it all by himself, but God was going to go with him. Why God wanted him to offer up his son, his only begotten son, because God was going to offer up his only begotten son, and he was looking for a man to go with him. I want you to grab your sword, and I'll grab my sword. And when we get done, nobody will stand before us. When we get done, I'll give you all power. When we get done, the heavens and the earth will come together. Your children will be like the stars. They'll be like the sand. I can't live this life by myself. I need God. I can't win people to God by myself. I need God. I can't make my marriage work by myself. I need God. I can't raise these children by myself. I need God. We can't have church by ourselves. We've got to have God. Emmanuel. Not God by himself, not man by himself, but God with us. This is what men and women have had to fight for. Amen. They've had to struggle for it, push for it, believe God for it, that God will be with us. When God is for us, the question is, who can be against us? I'm preaching to people tonight, stop waiting on God to do everything. It's time to meet him halfway. Well, I'll serve God if you'll just take it away from me, Jesus. How about you push back the dinner plate, start fasting, open that Bible, start reading, find that prayer room, start searching, and right in the middle of it all, God will show up. Come on. Come on. You want victory? Open your mouth and shout, "Yes, Lord." Open your mouth and shout, "Yes, Lord." You got to lift up your voice. You got to gird up the loins of your mind. You got to get your heart ready. You got to prepare yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything we do, we need Jesus. When Abraham walked away from Mount Moriah, he walked away with some ram's horns. He walked away with a little memento of what happened at the top of the mountain. Later on, when it came time to blow the trumpet, he pulled out that experience and he put it to his lips and he said, "Let me live it all over again. Let me remember what it did when it generated it the first time." Hey! Somebody needs to learn to blow the trumpet tonight. Somebody needs... I'm not talking about band practice. I'm talking about the ram's horn. When you start worshiping God, you blow that trumpet. When you start praising God, you blow that trumpet. It's a message about the blood. It's a message about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a message about the blood of the Lamb. It's a message about the Word. It's a message about worship. It's a message. That's what Gideon put in their hands. That's what... God have mercy. That's what Joshua put in their hands. When they marched around the walls of Jericho, he put ram's horns in their hands.
Sometimes you got to reach back and you got to grab a hold of some other generations. You got to go back and you got to remember when Brother Sutton began to worship. And the same blood that he was shouting about is the same blood you shout about. He was the generator. But the whole time he was putting stuff down on the inside of his people. Your pastor of your church is a generator. Your mom and your dad, they are generators. Your leadership are generating something in the Holy Ghost. And every time they dance, they're putting a ram's horn in your hands. He divided 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers, lambs within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. I like that right there. You want revival? Start doing it. Well, I keep telling everybody. I tell them they need to be witnessing. I tell them they need to praise God, but nobody wants to praise God. He didn't say, let me tell everybody while I sit over here. He said, look on me, and what I do, do likewise. If you've got a praising pastor, you praise God with him. If you've got a praying pastor, pray along with him. If you've got a shouting church, shout along with him. You want Bible studies? Start teaching Bible studies. You want new baptisms? Start baptizing new people in Jesus' name. You do it. You do it. You do it. Look on me and do likewise. Let them see me go to church. Let them see me shout in the aisle. Let them see me praise God. Let them see me teach. Let them see me dance. Let them... And when I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me. I hope I got some people with me. I said, I hope I got some people with me. Hallelujah. What would happen if everybody got with us? What would happen if everybody took this and stormed the streets? What would happen if everybody went out and won five people to God in the next year? This building wouldn't hold it. Your church wouldn't hold it. Watch what I do and do likewise. I'm going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. I'm going to cast out devils. I'm going to speak with new tongues. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Man, I got a lot of stuff down on the inside. Amen. It is the greatest day right now. Today, we just launched Biblos en Español. That means not only is it in English now, but now it's in Spanish. Ahora es el tiempo por predicando la Evangelio en todo el mundo. Now is the time to preach the gospel to the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great day. We're getting ready to launch in Arabic. Now, in the book of Ephesians, I had a good friend of mine tell me this the other day, and it blew my mind, and I'm going to tell you. He said, have you ever read the scripture, be angry and sin not? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Absolutely. Ever read that scripture? It's in Ephesians. And you read that, and the way that was always interpreted in my life was, it's all right to get mad, just don't get too mad. Don't sin. Don't cuss anybody. Be angry in a godly manner. And then let not the sun go down upon your wrath meant that before you go to sleep, you say, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I shouldn't have said it like that. I love you. I love you, baby. You know I love you. And that's how I always read that. But he said, I'm not sure that's what it means. Because we just kind of superimpose that.
Yes, we do.
He said, but I actually, and many people have begun to realize that it means that it's okay to be angry about the right thing.
Right.
I've been serving God just long enough to know that it's all right to be angry about the right thing. There's things that make God angry. And when it makes God angry, it makes me angry. The zeal of thine house hath consumed me, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me. I start feeling what God feels like. I start getting mad about what God gets mad about. I start getting happy about what God gets happy about. It's the sword of the Lord, and it's the sword of Gideon. And together, this all right? My mind goes to the book of Isaiah, where it says that the Lord looked for some, and there was no man. And he wondered. And he looked around for someone, and there was nobody. God's been looking for somebody that will come alongside him. He said, therefore, my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me. God got mad about some stuff. God's gonna have some people that get mad about some stuff. I get mad when the innocent are destroyed. I get mad when lives are snuffed out in the name of sexual liberation. I get mad when false prophets deceive people. I get mad when compromisers pull new people out of church. I get mad when grandsons walk away from the things that their grandfathers set in place. Let not the sun go down on your wrath doesn't mean tell your sweetheart you're sorry before the sun goes down. What it means is it's like Joshua when he was fighting the Amorites. He was saying, I'm not going to let the sun go down until I whoop this thing. God, I need a little help. I'm fighting your battle down here. I'm going to win this battle down here. And I can't do it by myself. So God, I need you to put the sun in place. And I need you to tell the moon to stand still. And I'm not going to let it go down until I'm going to preach this in this day. I'm going to worship in this day. Before the sun goes down, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Don't let the sun go down. Don't let the sun go down. Stay mad. Stay mad at false doctrine. Stay mad at dead church. Stay mad at compromise. Stay mad at false doctrine.
I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Stay mad about the right things. I read in my Bible, Paul walked up Mars Hill. And the Bible says that when he walked up there, he saw inscriptions to this God and that God and this God and that God. And when he got to the top, the Bible says his spirit was stirred within him. There should be some things that stir you. When I look around and I see the garbage that's being put out as truth, it makes me upset. It makes me want to preach louder. It makes me want to jump higher. It makes me want to teach more. And when I fight, I'm not fighting by myself, but he goes with me. I said he goes with me. Praise God. I'm closing. I'm coming to a close. But the Bible says that when David heard Goliath, something inside of him did flip-flops. While everybody else was running away, David was getting mad. Who does he think he is? That was his question. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to defy the armies of the living God? You need to get mad about the same stuff God gets mad about. Finally, when David got out on that battlefield, it's a good thing he knew who he was. Because if it was just David walking out there, my. See, apostolics understand the balance between God working and man working. One false doctrine says that man does everything and God does very little. In that doctrine, you've got to say so many prayers, you got to count beads, you've got to confess your sins to a man, you've got to say so many Hail Marys, and it's all about stuff the man does. They went the other way with it, and they said it's all God, and man doesn't have to do anything. So you don't have to get baptized. You don't have to get the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go to church. You just somehow have this mental thing, and boom, you got it. God does everything all by himself. One is one way, the other is the other way. But David had a revelation. It's both. I said it's both. David understood that faith without works is dead. So when I step out, God steps out. When I move, God moves. When I believe, he shows up. David walked out on the battlefield and said, you come with sword and spear, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. It's both of us. It's both of us. I'm done. I'm just trying to tell you that you will never know the great power of God until you get out and start doing. Come on, I need some generators. I need some generators on a Thursday night. I need some generators. I'm not waiting on anybody else. I'm going to start this thing. If nobody praises him, I'm gonna praise him. If nobody prays, I'm gonna pray. If nobody shouts, hey, I'm gonna shout. If nobody lives for God, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to generate. And God's going to show up.
I got on a plane in Beirut, Lebanon the other night. 2 hours before we left, we stopped at a restaurant to get something to eat, and some young thugs walked in. Some young thugs walked into the restaurant and tried to kidnap the church girls. Right in the middle of the restaurant. They walked right in and started talking to the girls and trying to pull them away from our group. Human trafficking is a real thing. This happened 2 nights ago. The missionary jumped up, ran over there, and they pushed back on the missionary, and they were beginning to threaten, and they were beginning to, it was about to go there. And I hate to do it, but if you gotta do it, you gotta do it in Jesus' name. There was about to be a problem. And the missionary picked up the phone and he said, I'm gonna call a friend because I'm not in this fight all by myself. He called the colonel of the Lebanese army. He had him on speed dial. The colonel said, if you ever get in trouble and you get in a tight spot, call me and I'll show up. Those young thugs stood there threatening and menacing. And about 5 minutes later, a huge car pulled up. 4 men jumped out in all black and full automatic weapons. They came running in. The thug said, I didn't know you rolled like that. They took off running the other way. When you're not alone, things happen. When you got somebody with you, things happen. My God, somebody needs to kick the devil out of their house. Kick the devil out of their youth group. Kick the devil out. Get out. Get out. I'm not by myself. He's Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. I want somebody to open your mouth and shout unto the Lord right now. Come on. I want you to shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. On a Thursday night, I want you to call on the name that's above every other name.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day. I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I want this means war.
This means war.
If you know that this is a war, I want you to make it your praise tonight.
This means war.
I want you to put your hands together and give God
this
all the
means
glory.
War. This means war.
I got joy in my soul. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing.
Come on, make it your song.
He's attacking every day, but I watch him while I pray.
You know what
no
it is.
No matter the attack, I want to battle.
This means war.
I want you to dig down
this
deep on the
war.
Inside.
This means
I want you to pray over your neighborhood. I want you to pray
this
over your marriage.
War.
I want you to pray over your family. Come on, I'm not alone. You're not alone.
You can't have my family.
You can't have my increase.
tonight. Somebody give him an apostolic praise. Somebody reach back. Somebody shout unto God. Somebody put your hands together.
This means war.
I'm going into my neighborhood.
This means war.
I'm winning people to God. I'm pulling them out of
this
the fire.
Means war.
I'm pulling them out of the fire.
This means war. This means war. This means war. This means war.
Hold it right there. Hang on to it. The Bible said that when he gave them the trumpet and he gave them the pitcher and he gave them the candle, he said, you're going to shout. He said, you're going to shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. If we don't do anything else tonight, let's do this. I want you to know what you're shouting about. Let me say it again. I want you to know what you're shouting about. I'm not shouting because of the drums. I'm not shouting because of the organ. I'm not shouting because of the keyboard. But I'm shouting because I got a testimony. I'm shouting because of what God has done for me. I'm shouting because of what God's going to do. So shout, because the Lord has given you the city. Shout because God saved your brother. Shout because somebody got the Holy Ghost. Shout because Birmingham belongs to the apostolics. Shout because of Jesus' name. Shout because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Shout because the oneness of God.
Thank you.
like it,
shout like it,
shout like it,
dance like it,
dance like it,
shout like it,
shout like it,
dance like it,
dance like it,
shout like it,
shout like it,
dance like it,
dance like it,
shout like it,
shout like it,
dance like it,
dance like it,
shout like it,
shout like it,
dance like it,
dance like it,
shout like it,
shout like it,
dance like it,
dance like it,
shout like it,
shout. Everybody shout right now!
shout yes, Lord. Open your mouth and shout yes, Lord. Open your mouth and shout yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So open your mouth and shout yes. Open your mouth and shout yes. Open your mouth and shout yes. Say yes, Lord. Yes. Open your mouth and shout yes, Lord. Open your mouth and shout yes. Open your mouth and shout yes. Yes, Lord. 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 With your dance. Yes, Lord. Praise him in advance. Yes, Lord. With your shout. Yes.
I want you to lift your hands to heaven right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to receive the word of the Lord tonight. I was standing over on the side and I felt the Holy Ghost just breathe into my spirit and say, there needs to be a baptism of the Book of Acts, church, in today's world. This Thursday night, I want you to make it a priority that the same spirit that God put on Brother Sutton would come upon you. That original generation, the same God that was with him is the same God that is with us. Is the same God that is with you. I want you to lift your hands all over this building right now. If one man can be responsible, your pastor of your local church where you're from, your bishop, I want you to pray that there would be an outpouring of the same thing. Somebody pray for a double portion. Somebody pray that the same miracles, God would work it in your life. The same angels would work on your behalf. The same zeal that gripped them would get a hold of you. God was with him. And God's gonna be with us. God was with our patriarchs. God's gonna be with us. If they can believe God and it produced this, what in the world would happen if everybody grabbed a hold of it? You would turn your city upside down. If everybody grabbed a hold of it, you would turn your city upside down. Don't you go back to church as usual. Don't you go back to barely making it. Don't you go back to lukewarm church. God is with you. God is with you. The Holy Ghost is with you. I want you to lift your hands right now and believe God. Believe God that 2022 is going to be the greatest year of your life. I'm going to testify to everybody I meet. I'm going to go out into the battlefield and God's going to show up. Come on, make it your prayer.
No more excuses. No more games. No more half-heartedness. I'm going to leave this place different than what I came in. I'm not going to be the same. Reach over and pray for the person next to you. Brother to brother, sister to sister, encourage them in the Lord. That's it. I want you to make it your prayer right now. The same God that was with Abraham is the same God that's with Isaac. And the same God that was with Isaac is the same God that's with Jacob. From generation to generation. Hallelujah. I want you to receive it now. I want you to believe God. I want you to believe God for the miracles. I want you to believe God for what He's going to do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, His angels are going before you. He's making up the way before you. He's preparing the way before you. You're going to walk through doors. You're going to speak under the authority of the Holy Ghost.
Come on right now, all across the room. Somebody solidify that in your spirit right now. Make up in your mind tonight that I'm not going to leave this place until I'm changed. I'm not going to leave this place until I have something deep down in my spirit. I'm not going to leave this house tonight. I know we've got things after tonight, but you ought to right now press on in. Press on into the Spirit of God that you feel. There are things that are happening in the Spirit right now. Somebody let them work on you. Somebody let them work on you right now. That's it, that's it. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice right now. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. God's changing somebody right now. God's giving somebody strength right now to go to the next level today. Come on, press right now, press right now. God's breaking something right now. Link up with your neighbor right now. Cry out to him. Cry out to God all over this house. God's shifting something in the atmosphere right now. Come on, somebody. Destinies are being changed in this house right now. God's putting something in his people tonight. You got to reach up and grab it tonight. You got to go after it tonight. God wants to put something in your spirit that's going to change the trajectory of your life. But you got to grab it tonight. Come on, young man, can you press a little bit more? Come on, young ladies, can you press a little bit more? God is working right now.
Victory belongs to him. Oh.
We got one more speaking in tongues in the back right now. God's pouring out his spirit all over the house. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, tonight is the good night to get it. Today is the day of salvation. God's able to set you free.
The victory belongs to Jesus.
Know that there are food trucks outside. You want to make sure you support our vendors. There's a minister's dinner for those, right? Go out of the sanctuary right through those double doors. All of our ministry, we would love for you to come and join us. There'll be basketball and volleyball till 1 a.m. Stay as long as you like. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in this house.